Go ahead and take out your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Continuing our study, what is life all about this morning? Really just a continuation of last week. As we just continue to look through this singular message from Jesus. Just for a refresher, Jesus is telling us about life. So we have Matthew, really, in his account of the gospel, laying out Jesus' ministry. We have his birth, the miraculous nature of it, his preparation for ministry, God working sovereignly in his life to protect him, Jesus doing all the things that were necessary, preparing for ministry, his temptation, baptism and temptation, all of those kind of things. And then Jesus comes. And I think it's very, there's just this gospel, at least as I look at it, is laid out very systematically, purposefully. And Jesus comes and he preaches this very convicting and very strong message about life, about the purpose of life. Interesting, as we'll see, I don't know, it's probably going to be at least a month now until we get into Matthew 8. And we're going to look at a little bit of this morning. But then the very next thing that he does in Matthew 8 and 9, he starts to show us a little bit of the heart of God. That's pretty awesome. A little bit of the heart of God in why he gives us these very sometimes difficult teachings. But let's go ahead and read this together, Matthew 6, 19 to 34, and then we'll take a look at God's will for your life. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And therefore, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And we would all say amen to that. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, again, we rejoice in your truth. God, we just come to you today as we look into your word yet again, as we look at yet another passage from this amazing message, the Sermon on the Mount. God, give us wisdom. Give us a vision to see your will. God, it seems very simple and plain to us as we look at it. So I just pray for us today that you would help us be doers. God, as we understand, as we receive your word, God, help us then to take it even this morning in this hour, and then as we leave, and make it a part of our lives, God. I think that is where we struggle so often. So help us, God, to be doers of your word. Help us to make good and personal, practical applications, God, as we see, as we learn, as you teach us, God, and just change us, God. Do the work in our hearts that we cannot do. And even this hour, point out to us areas and things in our life, God, that are displeasing to you, and so that we can yield those over to your work. In Jesus' name, amen. What is life all about? What is life all about? That's a good question, isn't it? And again, I don't want to be a mind reader ever, and certainly not a mind reader over 2,000 years later. But I think, based on what Jesus teaches, that we can really understand that that is what was on the hearts and minds of his audience. As Jesus got up and he went out and he started to preach and he started to teach this crowd of people that gathered, on their heart, on their mind was, what is life all about? They had real questions. Real questions, real concerns, just like we have. Some of the same struggles. They were just people. The same things were going on in their life as going on in your life. And so Jesus sits down and he delivers this awesome message. You remember last week, we saw that empty religion is not what life is all about. Verses 1-18. The Pharisees had made up a religion, basically. They thought it was the right thing to do. They thought they were serving and honoring God by it, but it was not the case. It was an empty religion. And so empty religion is not the answer of what life is all about. That will not fill you. Might seem spiritual. It might seem like the right thing to do. It might give you a feeling of spirituality. It's not going to fill you. It's not going to last. In our world today, then, that works out in a couple different ways. It could work itself out into, and I'll just call it dead formalism, but basically just going through the motions and putting on all the appearances of religion and having a bunch of creeds and rules and all of this stuff that you do and thinking that's going to make you right with God and going to fill you. It's not going to happen. And that was sort of what the Pharisees and Sadducees had done. But in our culture today, and maybe it was back then too, I don't know enough about it, it certainly could be totally different and still be empty religion. It could be all about emotion, getting a big pumped up feeling going, you know, make me feel good, or give me some pumped up music and send me home excited. And it's all about that. And I have this pumped up meter. I get pumped up on Sunday and then I get down here by Saturday and then I'm pumped up again, and that's all life is about. And I think that that's going to fill me. That's hollow. That's hollow. That is not going to satisfy. That's not what life is all about. As Jesus said, worship me in spirit and truth. False religion, no matter how spiritual or how it makes you feel, is not going to fill you ultimately. And, of course, it is also temporary. I love this here. As we see this very stern sort of reprimand, as he calls them hypocrites, umpteen times here, like four different times in the first 18 verses. Hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. Then he ends it up by saying, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so we think to ourselves, okay, that was the stuff about the Pharisees. Now this is the stuff about money. Oh good, we get to hear about money again today. We love that, right? Tell us to give more, Pastor. Well, don't miss this. The first 18 verses go with those two, don't they? When you are living for empty religion, when you think that's going to fill you, it's not going to get it done. You're laying up for yourselves treasure on earth. And remember some of those things. The praise of men. Verse 5 you can look at. Don't be like the hypocrites. And what's he say over and over? They have their reward, right? Don't lay up for yourselves treasure on men. That, in a way, is laying up treasure on earth. Getting the praise of men. Empty religion. Looking good. Feeling spiritual. But a heart that has a disconnected relationship with the living God. You see that? That is laying up treasure on earth. That is living for things that are less. And that's not going to fill you. That is not what life is all about. Next thing he says is money. Verses 19 and 21. And then we can see that certainly in 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Then in 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so he's really talking about having a divided heart there. And the Bible talks about this a lot, of saying one thing, doing another, or even just having divided affections. And he says you can't live for money and think that you're right with God, or you can't live for money and have a full relationship, a full life, a full growing relationship with God if that is on your plate. You're either going to eventually or right off the bat hate one master and love the other. You see that? And so life is not all about that. It's not about money. Money will not fill you. Talking about treasures on earth, verses 22 and 23, we'll talk about a little later, covetousness and the divided heart issue. Now, if you think about that, in our culture, in our context, is slightly different than theirs. And for our time, I think our biggest problem is just flat out greed. Greed, covetousness, I want more. And we think that that's going to fill us. Now, and that's just our culture that we live in. If you ask a rich person, then, how much is enough? You know, how much, okay, if that's what life is all about, help me out here. When did you get satisfied with this amount of money? And you know what they will consistently say? Just a little bit more. How much is enough? Well, I just need a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. Bill Gates, I don't know, this is probably way outdated now, it's probably much more, but at one time, several years ago, someone had calculated out his income, and if he dropped $100, if he took the time to bend down and pick it up, he would lose money. That's how much money he made per hour, Bill Gates. That's almost inconceivable, isn't it? If you look at the testimony of some of the richest people that have ever lived, at the ends of their lives, it's empty. Their lives are hollow. You see, money, the things of this world, as we're going to see, but certainly money is never meant to satisfy you. Boy, we live in America, don't we? And everything is about money. It's all about money, and you got to get more, and you got to have success, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. It's not going to satisfy you. If you make that your focus in life, if you make that your goal, you're laying up for yourself treasure on earth, and that is going to go away. It's going to blow away like the wind. It's not going to fill you. It's not going to give you the things that you think you need. People will say this, if I just had enough money, I could be happy. If I just had enough money, I would be comfortable. If I just had enough money, I would be safe and secure. If I just had a better job or a bigger house, if I just had that new car or that boat or that motorcycle, if I just had that bigger TV, if I just had my new kitchen, if I just had, then I would be satisfied, then I could feel like my life was making a difference or it was a point to it all. That's not going to get it done. Money today for us is about security and comfort, exactly like it was for Jesus' audience. And so he's telling them right off the bat, as he's telling us, don't make money the thing that you live for because it will not satisfy you. Now, I want you to notice something. For us, I think our biggest problem is greed. And that's just a blanket statement. If you don't have a problem with greed, fine. That's all right. But for most of us, it's an issue. Now, in Jesus' day, that may or may not have been the case. I'm sure there are plenty of people in the audience that had problems with greed. And believe me, poor people can struggle with greed just as much as rich people. It's not that issue at all. It's not that the rich or the greedy and the poor are the suffering people who never struggle with greed. Poor people struggle with greed just as much. Nate was telling us a couple weeks ago as he went to Haiti that they had brought a bunch of balls for the kids. And he said they just disappeared. Well, what happened? Well, the kids took them and hid them because they have nothing. You see, when you have nothing and you have one thing, you hide it and you keep it. You got to keep that. Well, that's greed. I don't want to share this with anybody else. Someone might take it. You see? It disappears. And so poor people can struggle with greed just as much as wealthy people. Just comes out a little bit different. But for Jesus' audience here, I want us to see something. The main issue that he's dealing with them on is not greed. The main issue is not pure covetousness that is ungodly greed. He's talking about here basic issues of life. Don't worry about the things that you need for your clothing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Right? You see that? And so here, I think with some of the stuff that they're dealing with is more along the lines of this. When I get up tomorrow, am I going to have breakfast? They can't get out, they can't get up and walk to Walmart, you see, where everything is there. For in their day, walking to Waterloo was a short jaunt. You see? It's not the same for us. They were worried about the well. Can you drink the well? Is it going to have water in it? Is it going to rain? Are the crops going to all die? Are we going to starve? Here's the Romans. What's going to happen to us? Are we going to live? Are they going to haul us off and throw us in jail? I mean, are they going to tax us more and more? They were worried about the basic necessities of life. Money is about security and comfort. Basically, it was a comfort issue. Now, you know, you see me up here, you know that I have a little bit of a comfort issue myself. But think about that. Isn't that what it's about? Am I going to be able to eat tomorrow? Can I really trust God to provide for me my food tomorrow? Wow. That's pretty significant, isn't it? And Jesus comes and he starts out immediately saying, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. Don't worry. God's got your back. God's going to take care of you. God is the one that provides for you. Think about that. They're worried about day-to-day needs. And Jesus said, your real concern is with God. Your real worry is whether or not God is either able to or willing to provide for you the basic things that you need to live. Money is not the answer to that question. Boy, if we could get really nothing more than that out of this message, I think that would do us wonders. We go and we live in America where we have this big abundance. We have everything we could ever need. And pretty much everything we could ever want, right? Some, you know, the poorest people in America have a flat panel TV, right? Pretty much. I mean, if you want something in America, you can pretty much get it. If you need to be taken care of, as much as people want to say that this isn't the case, if you go to the hospital, they're going to admit you. If you need some food, you're going to get fed. We have everything here. And yet, at some level, we struggle with these same basic comfort and security issues that they struggled with in the first century. And that's because we have the same heart. And Jesus' message to them is just as pertinent to them as it was to us. They're worried about whether or not they're going to eat at all tomorrow. You know, we're worried about something a little bit different, whether I'm going to have the new car or the two-year-old car, usually, not always, but things like that. And that's just part of the point, I think, where, you know, I'm not as concerned. I think that might have been their issue as well. I'm not as concerned about whether or not God is going to give me what I need. I get that. I'm just not sure He's going to give me what I want. And so very often that's the issue with money. But get this. Okay, here's the point we need to get. If you have concerns about life, money is not your answer. Yeah, but I want a better house. Yeah, but I'm not sure if I can feed myself tomorrow. Money's not the answer. Yeah, but I want... No, money is not the answer. It's interesting. And we'll look at this a little more, Lord willing, time permitting. Sometimes, you know, we get the idea that God does not want to bless His people today. That God is not about that anymore, and we have to take care of ourselves or whatever. But we're scared of the gospel, the prosperity gospel, and all that junk. Okay, I get that. I don't like it either. But here's the point: God does want to bless you today. God will bless you today. Wow. But you know what we do? We flip it upside down. It's all about the blessing. I'm going to live for the blessing. I'm going to live for the thing. I'm going to live for the money. I'm going to live for the this or that. We've totally missed the point. God's not going to bless you if that's what you're purpose in life is. Money's not the answer. You could work. Most of us here are skilled. Most of us here have ability from God. Most of us here could work ourselves into a fortune if we chose to. Most of us could. It's not the answer. That's not going to get it done in your life. And if you make that your goal, you're going to end up in misery and you're going to probably end up even failing at your goal because God does not want to fill your idolatrous heart with more idols. We have to get the focus right first. Don't seek things in the world. Don't seek the things of this earth. You see that? Don't lay up. He starts out with us. Money is not. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures, junk in this world. You've missed the point. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What is life all about? Empty religion is not the answer. Human accolades, people saying you're so good, is not the answer. Money will not fill you. Life is not all about material things. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And as I said, can you not start to see the heart of God coming out a little more? We're going to see this more in chapter 8. But can you not see the heart of God? Are you not of more value than they? God takes care of them. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these. Okay, do you get it yet? Don't worry. Right? Don't worry. And here's the thing, too. Don't miss this. It's not a suggestion. Well, if you can do it, try not to worry so much. If you can pull it off, it'd be better for you if you didn't worry. No. He says, don't worry, you of little faith. Right? It's not me talking. Don't worry. Yeah, you have real concerns. I get it. I have real concerns. Jesus gets it more than even you do. But he still says, you can trust God. Don't worry. Life is not all about material things. Think about our land now. Well, there's a lot of things we could worry about, isn't there? Maybe you're worried that you're not going to have a job tomorrow. Your company is going down quick. Maybe you're worried that your health isn't quite what it used to be. Maybe you're worried that some of your freedoms are going away and your government is going to steamroll over the top of you. Life is more than the material things. Life is more than the things that we see with our eyes. Don't worry. We have it a lot better in all of those areas than the people in the first century had. And Jesus told them, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about the basic necessities of life. God cares for you. Look at the world around you. Look at the sparrows. They're worthless. God cares for those. Look at the grass. You mow it and you throw it in the fire. God makes the grass beautiful. He cares. You're of much more value than they. Don't worry. Worrying is not the answer. One thing about worrying is trusting in the goodness of God, trusting either the goodness or the sovereignty of God. And we'll see this in a couple of weeks, Matthew 7, 1 through 11. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. Him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And you see, it's like we're saying, well, yeah, if my kids are here and they need a sandwich, I'm going to do everything I can to give them a sandwich. But God, I'm not sure if he's going to feed me. Wow. What a completely illogical disconnect. Jesus says, look, you're not good. You're not like God. You're not perfectly loving. You'd give your food to your children, wouldn't you? And so what do when we worry? We're trusting in the goodness of God. We're trusting that God would actually go ahead and take care of us. Don't worry, Jesus says. That's the answer. One part of life, stop worrying. Then put on, trust God. Matthew 7:31-32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. 33, but seek first the kingdom. Oh, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, God knows what you need. And so now we're trusting in the goodness of God. We're also going to trust in the sovereignty of God. God is able to provide for you. God knows the things ahead of time that you need. God knows every circumstance in your life, every single detail, things that escape everyone else's attention, including yours, God knows. Put Him first. Trust Him. God feeds the birds. He'll feed you. Your worrying has never made you taller, right? We would all be 7'8" if worrying could make you taller. It's not going to happen. Stop worrying. Trust God. It's an issue of control. Well, I've got to worry about it, or else who's going to? Stop worrying. You can't control the future. The very last verse, sufficient for the day are its own troubles. Isn't that what it's always about when we worry? I'm not trusting the goodness of God. I'm not sure God's really going to provide for me. I'm not trusting the sovereignty of God. I'm not really sure God is able to provide for me. Probably wouldn't say that, but that's how we live. But I'm going to trust myself to control my circumstances because that's what I can see. I am going to control my future. I'm going to worry about tomorrow. And so I've got to do this, this, and that, or else my life just doesn't make sense. I want you to ask yourself this question. I think this is the overarching question of this passage. Who would you rather trust with the issues of your life, you or God? Who would you rather trust? Think about that. Think about that logically. Can you really control anything in your life? Can you make anything happen? You've never been able to make yourself any taller, right? Can you control anything? Can you make sure that something happens? Oh man, is this not just so relational truth? Well, my neighbor is such a jerk that I'm going to do everything I can to try to control the situation so that my neighbor will somehow be different. And I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to be concerned about it. I'm going to do all these things and jump through all these hoops. Guess what? You're going to fail. You already have. Or your husband, or your wife, or your kids. Anybody. You have to go back and trust in the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God. And stop trusting in yourself to provide for the things. Well, I'm going to go out and get the best education that I can so I can have a good job. Good for you. Good plan. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make myself the best worker that I can. Good for you. Good plan. That's wisdom. But guess what? Ultimately, if God doesn't want you to be provided for, you're not going to be provided for. If God has said He's going to provide for you, it would be better spent time to trust Him. Do the right thing. But more than that, it's an issue of control. It's not all about you. It's not all about your skills or your abilities or the land that you live in. It's about a sovereign and good God that loves you. See the heart of God. He wants to give to you the things that you need. He will. And so often we spend all of our time worrying and fussing and fretting and trying to control all of our circumstances. Instead of taking care of business today, we're worried about every day after this and what might happen and how things might go. And we miss it. We miss an opportunity to trust and glorify God when He is the only one we should trust. And so you ask yourself, why do I have this turmoil in my life? Why do I have these things in my life? Well, where's your focus? Where's your heart? It's on the wrong things, the things that will not fill, material things. Why am I depressed? Why am I anxious? Why am I not happy? Why does my marriage have problems? Why are my kids have problems? Why is my life boring? Why don't I have any fulfillment in my life? What are you focusing on? What are you living for? If it's not Christ, it's not going to fill you. It's not what life is all about. Life is more than material things. Now, verse 33, as we read a little bit earlier, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So this is the application for us today. And again, this is generic. You have to make it personal. You got work to do today. Isn't that exciting? You've got work to do. Make it personal. Okay, seek first the kingdom of God. That looks different for every one of us. I want everyone to hear today to think about this. What will it look like in my life to be daily seeking the Lord and then to start to do that? Here's a few suggestions. Seeking God is not a Sunday-only deal. Seeking God is not coming to church on Sunday. Okay, that's a good part of it. But seeking God is daily. Daily living for Him. Daily making Him the focus and priority in your life. Giving God first place in your life. Daily knowing Him. Daily learning of Him. Daily applying His Word. I read an email one time. I can't remember for sure, but it was someone was having some difficulty with someone, and it was a youth pastor, and the father of a daughter came to the youth pastor and said, "Look, pastor, there's all this stuff going on all the time, and I understand that you want to keep the kids going, and you want them to do things for the Lord, and you want them to serve, and you want them to do all this, but you have to understand something. You have to understand that church." That God is only one part of my daughter's life. God is only one part of my daughter's life. And the question that immediately jumped into my mind, as bad as it is, wicked as it is, was, well, what part? You see? What part? God has to be a priority in your life. He has to be the priority in your life. That's not a Sunday-only thing. It's every day. It's every decision. It's the thoughts of your heart. It's the things that are going on in your mind. It's the conversations that you're having with other people. Where's Christ in those? Daily seeking God. When he says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, we get it flipped upside down, don't we? I think I need something, and so I'm going to go get it. No, Christ says no, flip that over. Seek God, trust him. Seek God, He will give you the things that you need. Seek God, He will give you fulfillment in life. And that is what life is all about. That is the only thing that's going to give you any kind of a purpose and meaning in this life. It's knowing and doing the will of God. It's a question of focus, it's a question of control, it's all of those kinds of things. So now here's another application for us. Make your number one goal in life to please God. 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our aim, okay? My weak translation, or how about a weak interpretation, we make it our number one goal, all right? We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to Him. That's it. My goal in life, think about, isn't the gospel simple? We make it so hard. We make life so hard. If my number one goal, if everything in my life is directed towards pleasing my Creator God, am I going to have as many problems as I have today? No. Right? All my problems come when I make it my aim, whether absent or present, to be well-pleasing to me. Right? That's when I have problems. That's when life is difficult. That's one of our applications. We make it our aim. God, how can I please you in this? God, what's your will? God, I want to love you and do what you say. Make that our aim. Trust in God, because that's what faith is. Trust in God. We were talking about this on Wednesday, Wednesday. Worship is loving obedience. Trust God and obey Him from your heart. Loving obedience. Live for God. Give Him first place in your life. Trust Him. You might not always get what you want if this is the way that you start to live. Think about that. That's significant. I'm going to say it again, what I said earlier. I think everyone in this room has enough talents, skills, and ability to basically get pretty much anything you could desire in this life. If you worked hard enough, if you really tried, and maybe you cheat and steal a little or whatever, I don't know, you could do it. But you're ripping yourself off if you do that. If you live this way where your goal is to please God and you're going to trust Him to give you the things that you need, you might not get what you want. And I will submit to you that you probably will not get some of the things that you want. That's not a bad thing. We're running a little long, but that's all right. We like to do that here, right? Some of us do. One of us does. When I was younger, I was dating a gal, and my wife went out of the service to do something else, I'm glad. But I was dating a gal for a couple of years, and I poured my life into this gal. And I thought she was everything. She was so great. And it was just, she was my world. And I wanted her to be my wife, and I sought after her. That gal was an ungodly unbeliever. Of course, my wife was too when I married her. But God took that gal out of my life. That was a tragedy in my life. I was broken. I can tell you right now, I am supremely happy that that happened. I didn't get what I wanted. God did not give me what I wanted. I wanted something wrong. Now, for whatever reason, God blessed me and saved my wife and turned her into one of the most godly ladies that I have ever met. But that is the way God works. It's not all about getting what you want, because sometimes you want the wrong thing. You won't always get what you want. If you trust God, He will give you what you need. He will give you a fulfilling life, a life of joy, the life that He wants for you, not the life that you want for you. So we need to start to ask ourselves some questions like this. What about that job I didn't get? Oh, what did I do? Did I sin? What about that house that we wanted and we didn't get it? Was it something we did? Well, maybe it's just the thing that you didn't need. Maybe God has a better plan that you're not seeing. Another interesting story that Nate told us when they went to Haiti, that the pastor that was over the orphanage is predestined, they offered to buy a home for yet another orphanage home, and the guy laughed at him and jacked the price way up and wouldn't sell it to him. Well, the earthquake came, the house is gone. It's destroyed. Well, guess what? They wanted that house. Was their desire wrong? They wanted a house to put orphans in it. That was a good desire. They didn't get it. You see that? God did not give them that house. It fell into a pile. God, we have to trust Him, don't we? We have to trust Him to give us the things that we need. We want to be on His plan, on His program. We want to make seeking Him our goal, pleasing Him our only thing in life, and trust Him for the rest. That's what life is about. So let's ask ourselves some questions as we seek to make application. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be, or you be also. Where is your treasure this morning? Where is your focus? Where are the things that you love? What are the things that captivate you? What are the things that you live for? What are the things that you're seeking all the time? What are the things that you say things like, if I just had, or if I had more of, then you could be happy? Where's your treasure at this morning? Is it in a better job? If I just had a better job, man, my life would be good. If I just had that nicer home, then I would have it. If I just had a huge chunk of money in the bank, I would be secure. If I just had that retirement dream. If I just had a husband or a wife. Or how about a little harder? If I just had a husband or a wife that really loved me, I would be satisfied. That's hard. That's a good goal. But don't make the focus the goal. Where's your treasure? Your treasure is Christ. He is the reward. He is the one that has promised to give you everything that you need. He will fill you. He wants to bless you. But we have to come to Him His way. We can't make the junk and trinkets and things of this world the goal. They will never satisfy you. Very often, God will withhold those things from you because it's not what you need. Examine your life today. Think about your goals. Take this seriously. Take this challenge seriously. Examine your heart today. Examine your life today. Think about the things that excite you. Think about how you live and what you live for. Think about your goals in life. Think and let God do a work in your heart to show you where your treasure is. And then start to purpose to serve Him and to put your treasure in heaven. Because He says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Why does my life have problems, Pastor? Why am I not satisfied? Why do I have things that stumble me? And why do I have discontent in my life? Because you will either love one and hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. You see that? You have a divided heart. This is very quickly. Let's turn to a couple of passages. Psalm 86. As we think about this application time, take this part seriously. This is generic application. Make it personal. Think about your own life. Psalm 86, let's read verses 1 through 12. We could just read the whole thing, but let's just read that. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call on you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. Nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Man, read that psalm every day this week. That is the heart that God desires from His people. You, O Lord, help me, God. I am not getting it. Unite my heart, Lord. You are God. There is none like you. I will call on you. You will hear. You will answer. Luke 18:1. It's a simple verse. Just as we close, as we finish. Live for God's glory. It's a two-part blessing in loving obedience. One is God's blessing to you and glory to God. It's awesome. Live God's way. You will be blessed. God is glorified. Notice the heart of God in here. We're not going to spend much time on this morning. We're going to look at this a little more in the weeks to come. Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. What is life all about? The heart of God is for you to know Him, to trust Him, and to stop trusting yourself and trusting the junk of this world. Stop worshiping the creation and start living for and loving the Creator, and that in your life will be blessed. Your life will be filled with joy. He will provide for you the things that you need. You can count on it. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, again, thank you for this passage and the challenge that it is to us, God, to live righteously and holy. But more so, God, I don't know more so, but certainly, God, for us to trust you. Lord, we live in this world and sometimes it's very difficult. for us, God, as our focus can be pulled to the different things. Every one of us, God, would admit that we struggle sometimes with loving you with our whole heart. But God, I pray that you would help us, God, and unite our heart. God, help us to not get life upside down and to live for things, but to trust you for the things and to live for you. God, I pray that you would help us to be those that seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, that we would seek first your holiness, and that, God, ultimately we know that you are good, that you are sovereign, that you love us, and that you have promised. And that, God, our lives would be full of joy as we see your heart in the Word, that you want to bless us, you want us to have a joyful life, and you only withhold things from us that are bad for us that we don't need. And so, God, I just pray that you continue to do this work of sanctification in your people, and that, God, this week we would be experiencing more victory and more joy as a result of knowing and following you. In the precious, awesome name of Jesus Christ, amen.